way, that God holds us in his hand. If you're a child of God, you can have peace. You know, as you go through trials and different situations in your life, if you just keep your eyes focused on God, like the scripture said, God will give you that peace. He'll bring you to that place of peace and contentment. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Listen, people start talking about we're headed for World War III and they're going to drop nuke bombs. That's fine. Let them drop nuke bombs. I know where I'm going. Hey. I'm not worried about that. Oh, they're going to come to your door and they're going to take your guns. Let them try. They're not taking them, folks. They're not taking them. Okay? We just need to rest assured that God has all this in control. The Bible says that it'd be in the days of Noah. How many people got on that ark?
Come on.
We have no idea the wickedness that can be out there. It's there. It's there. It's trying to confront the people. It's trying to put it in your face. Listen, they're trying to make things. If it's normal, Brother Harris, you don't have to make it normal. You don't have to. But listen, we talked about this clean back in the Obama days when they pushed the gay marriages. That wasn't their agenda. When you see all this taking place, you know, people go, well, what will happen to my kids? God knew what was going to happen when your kids were there, and he's preparing them for such a time as that.
Right.
Let's just raise our kids. Let's do our part to raise our kids to put their faith and trust in God's word and not in man's word. Because God will not fail you, but man will fail you. Romans chapter 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, there's the conditional promise. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is looking for peace in all kinds of ways that it's just temporal. It's just temporal. God's peace is eternal. God's peace is eternal. Number 3, God's promise of joy. In Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You understand? It's in God's presence when we find that contentment of joy. Happiness is, listen, how many of you ever bought something and it made you happy for a short period of time? Then all of a sudden you got it out and it wasn't what you expected.
Right.
How many of you ever got a gift for your birthday or Christmas? You got the stinking thing out and it was broke before you ever used it. You kids, you ever have that? There was happiness, but all of a sudden there was no happiness anymore. There was depression. That's not God's joy. God's joy is eternal. And it's in his presence. You know, as Brother Bushy was saying in the Sunday school hour there, you know, about how could Paul and Silas be in prison? They were stripped, they were beaten, they were cast in prison. How could they have this joy to be singing? The Bible says then they prayed and they sang praises. And you know what? They went into the presence of God and it didn't matter their situation. They were still lifting God up in praise and honor because you know what? They knew their end. They knew their end. To be absent from the body is to be
right.
We worry and we fret about so many things. Brother Harris, I guarantee if you asked some of your loved ones that have gone on to heaven before us, would they come back? They would not come back. That's the joy. That's the joy that we can have in his presence. In his presence. John 15, 10 and 11. If ye keep my commandments, there's condition. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You know, we can have joy no matter what we go through when we just continue to obey God. Just continue. You know, it's amazing, Brother Nathan, how many people fall out of church because they don't understand what God's doing in their life. They backslide on God. Why would God ever do that to me? God's not a respecter of persons.
Come on.
He's not a respecter of persons. Why don't you just sit back and realize God's allowing you to go through something so you can help somebody else? But we don't think we deserve it. Joy is in his presence, and in his presence it means we might that joy might remain in us. And it says in that your joy might be full. I don't know about you, but I like to have full joy. Number four, God's promise of encouragement. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You have to understand God's purpose for each and every one of us is to come to a place of his saving grace. It's the God's expected end for us is for all of us to accept him and to go to heaven one day. Not that everyone will accept that. It's a choice that we make. But God's expected end is for us to have everlasting joy and peace in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the just unto the day of judgment to be punished. Number five, God's promise of strength. God's promise of strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Sometimes we just got to get to this place where we just give things over to God.
Right.
We just got to get to a place where we give things to God. So we're trying to, we live in such an independent and self-esteem time in our world, and everybody just they want to find that strength upon themselves. You know, it always amazes me, Brother Morris, how many people pervert Philippians, and they say I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but they're living a wicked lifestyle. God's not going to allow you to have the strength to do those things. You might think that he is, but the only way that he's going to is when you're living in a place. Listen, encouragement will come when I know that I'm living in such a way that no matter what happens in my life, God has this in his hand. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, as you go out and you knock doors and you do all those things, you know, Brother Harris, you said, what's evangelism like? There's nothing like serving God, but yes, no matter how you look at those times and how you look at those situations, I'm not worthy to stand up here, Brother Morrison, preach. I'm not worthy. If I sat here and gave you my testimony this morning, I'm not worthy to preach. I'm not worthy that God would give me a calling. I'm not worthy to have a boys camp. I'm not worthy to do any of those things. But it's through his power and it's through his strength. And it's do you understand, Brother Harris? I used to skip class when I had to get up in front of it and give a speech. Oh, yeah. I was sick. Blessed, don't take any of those things. God has a sense of humor. Do you know something, Brother Harris? He doesn't always call the qualified. He calls the willing.
Right.
He calls the willing. And the way that we find our strength to serve him, the way that we do that, is God takes people that are incapable of doing it on their own, and he gives us the strength and the power to do it through him. And that's what we need to find our strength. In 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. There's been so many things over the past, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years of my life. I didn't understand at the time what was going on. I just knew that I had to keep going. I just knew that I had to keep serving. I just had to keep going. And then when you look back, when you get through that, when you come through the other side of the tunnel and there's light, God starts to shed upon you why you went through what you did. And it was to help other people, to show God his glory. God's glory to those about how God got you through that, how God carried you through that, how God worked in your life through that situation, how he established you, how he grew you through that trial, and how he grew you through those things. God's promises are for his children, and he does that. God promises when we are tempted. God promises when we are tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Here's the problem, Brother Morris. I deal with people all the time have addictions. And if you know anything about my past, I was 10 years old the first time that I ever got drunk. I chewed snuff for almost 20 years. When I got saved, nobody had to preach. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, none of those things. The Holy Spirit immediately convicted me to dump that stuff out. It was amazing, Brother Morris, that the Holy Spirit had me dump it out when nobody preached to me about that. I'm talking, I got saved. The next day, I started dumping alcohol out. It took me 2 weeks, Brother Harris, to dump all the liquor bottles out and all the beer cans out and put them in my recycling bin because I couldn't fit them all in the first week. There was things, any kind of filthy entertainment I had, I got rid of it immediately. There was a couple of things that had a stronghold on me, and now I'm going to get personal with you. Country music and chewing snuff. They had a hold on me. I just had a man in our church help me with work a few weeks back, and he's struggling with country music. Couldn't understand why would he come and talk to me about this. And he said, I just don't see what's wrong with it. I said, well, why don't you tell me what's right with it? Just think about real life. I'm getting personal. I know where I'm preaching. I'm preaching in the country. But I'll preach this wherever because, you know what? God got me through this. And you're not going to have victory and growth in the Christian life till you get rid of it.
Right.
Here's what they do, Brother Nathan. This is how they pervert people to think that it's great and there's nothing wrong with it. It's like a flu shot. Not all of them do it, but some of them do it. At the end, they put Amazing Grace, last song on the CD. They put the old Rugged Cross as the last song on the CD. Listen, folks, I had 200 country CDs. I can still, when I go to Cracker Barrel, sing half the songs when they're on the radio. I have to catch myself doing it. You say, really? Yes. It's the flesh.
Right. Come on.
Young folks, I say this all the time. Shut the doors now. Don't open them. Every door of sin that you open up in your life is a door you're going to have to close every morning to live a victorious Christian life. It's amazing. They give you a little bit. You know why they put that on there? They put that on there, Brother Harris, because they grew up singing, just like the brother was just singing. They grew up singing in church.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you started getting to hear.
Yeah.
Then this affected this.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, they're on American Idol.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Used to sing in the choir. Used to play an instrument. Next thing you know, they're in the honky-tonk playing.
Right.
God gave you a talent to sing or play an instrument. Do it for him.
Amen.
Do it for him. Chewing stuff had a hold on me. This was amazing, Brother Nathan. I wouldn't put a chew in the church parking lot after church, Brother Harris. You know why? I was convicted about it. There was nowhere in the Bible that said, thou shalt not chew snuff.
Right.
It wasn't there. It's still not there. And the struggle's real. I quit January 3rd, 2007, by God's grace. But most addicts don't want to quit because they're not serious about quitting. I've had probably 6 to 10 people, Brother Harris, in the past
I don't know, 16 years. Asked me, Brother Rex, how did you quit chewing snuff? I said, I made a vow with God. Made a vow with God. I got down on my knees one night and said, God, I can't do it. But if you will give me the strength, I will never touch it again. I dumped it down the toilet. Do you know what keeps me from chewing snuff, Brother Nathan? That. You know what people say to me? Well, I'm afraid God will strike me dead. I said, what do you think keeps me from doing it? You're just not serious enough to quit it. But that's why you'll never see the true victory that you have to have. God will give you the way of escape. You just have to be serious about it.
Right.
Young people, your phone, that temptation to look at things that you shouldn't look at. Hey, I think I forget what our preacher just gave the percentage there, I think, last week. It's like 60% of men in church struggle with pornography. 60%. I promise you this. If you're here this morning, the next time you're tempted to look at something that you're not supposed to, if you're just stay sensitive, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Put your phone down. Get away from it. Go pick up your Bible. Call somebody. Find an accountability partner. Pick them up and call them. You're just not serious enough. That's the problem. But God has given us His promise that He'll get us through those things. And it's only by His grace that we are. Hebrews 10:13. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to secure them that are tempted. He always gives us that way. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Who can tell me how Jesus fought the sin? Do you remember in I think it was Matthew 4, when He had fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, was led away of the devil to be tempted? What, every time He was tempted of the devil, how did He fight temptation?
Come on, preacher. Come on.
I say no.
Scripture. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Yep.
It's a cleansing of the heart. The scripture cleanses the heart. When you hide His word in your heart and you meditate upon it and you dwell upon it and you think upon it, guess what? When you're tempted to sin, God, the Holy Spirit, will remind you of those things. You know, who you spend more time with will be how you act. You spend more time on TV and TikTok and YouTube. Parents, if your kids have cell phones, they don't need them.
Right.
They don't need them.
Right.
Honestly, they don't need them. There's more harm from the cell phone than there is not having a cell phone. I promise you that.
Right.
But we give them the cell phones, Brother Nathan, so that it keeps them busy, so we don't have to.
Right.
Sorry, I just felt like I had to say that. God's promise when we grieve. Psalms 119:50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In April 2020, my brother died unexpectedly. And my brother wasn't living a Christian life. I witnessed to my brother. And they asked me if I would preach his funeral. And it was during COVID, so we were allowed 12 people there. And Brother Mark, there was a Catholic priest there, and he got to hear the gospel. My wife said, did you see him flipping through his Bible, looking at all them things? I said, I'm just promises of God. The night that he died, I was pretty broken. And anytime I struggle, I just get in this. And I open my Bible up to Psalms. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, the end says, weeping endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Brother Nathan, God reminded me that next morning, five, six, 7 years prior, I was at my brother's house one night shortly after I got saved. After I got saved, I wanted everybody to know. I had no tack. I just shoved it down everybody's throat.
Right.
But I was at my brother's, and when I'd leave my brother's house, it was always a process. You went from the living room to the basement. Then you talked there for 20 minutes. And then you made it from the basement to the garage for another 10. And then you'd make it from the garage to the hood of the pickup.
Right.
That's what all good rednecks do. You lean on the hood and you have conversations on the hood of a pickup. The GM pickup. And I had a conversation with my brother that night about salvation. And I said, Ben, it's not about where you go to church. It's about what you do with Jesus Christ. And we grew up Catholic. My brother was married to a Catholic. And I went through the gospel with him that night. And I said, Ben, you need to get this settled about salvation. I said, it's not about church. It's not about how good you can be. It's about how good he was to us.
Yes.
And when I left that night, Brother Harris, I said, here. I said, I asked him if you want to get that settled. I gave him a different track. It was from my father-in-law's church. It was just a black and white track that said, you know for sure 100% you go to heaven. I gave him that track, simple Romans Road in it. And I left, and I was up there about 2 weeks later. And the process went right through.
And we
get that salvation settled down. He said, I did. The last time you were here, I went in, I got that settled. The loss of my brother didn't leave. But the joy that came in the morning was that conversation.
Right.
The joy that came was because if he did what he said, it didn't matter his life. God cannot lie.
Yeah.
Right. And when I preached his funeral, I preached that very thought. I preached about God's promises of salvation. I preached a very clear presentation of the gospel. And I used the scriptures very clearly during his funeral and said, if Ben did what he told me, then there's no worry to be where Ben is because God cannot break his promises. As we grieve and as we go through things, we need to remember that God does not break his promises. Folks, that's why it's so important. Reach your family while you can. Reach them while you can. Pray for them. Pray for them. Get them in. It amazes me, Brother Morris, how many people, they have lost loved ones, and when they come to town to visit them, they skip church. Bring them to church.
Amen.
They put them on a prayer list. They want you to pray for them, but they don't have the gumption to bring them to church. Bring them to church. Bring them to church. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men,
and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in verse 21, 4, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a wonderful day that's going to be. No more pain, no more sickness, no more death. What a wonderful time that is. We cannot fathom what that's going to be like when that day comes. Number 8, God's promise for his return. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If you're a child of God, God is preparing a place for you in heaven for eternity. That's a promise of God. Verse 14, verse 3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a promise of his return. What a great time. Wouldn't that be great if the trumpet just sounded this afternoon and we just all rose to be with him? That would be a wonderful thing. But I ask you this morning, are you ready for that? If the trumpet were to blow this morning, are you sure you're going? You can know for sure. The Bible tells us that we can know for sure. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. It's not a, I hope, I think so. It's a no so. And you can know that. If you're here this morning, you don't know that for sure. Are you ready for his return? Are you ready? All these promises that we just briefly touched on this morning are all things that are conditional. These are conditional promises of God, but they're conditional to his children. They're conditional to his children. Except for Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will, he will. He promises to do those things. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around this morning. I ask you, and be honest. Be honest with God this morning. You might be able to fool the preacher. You might be able to fool the deacon. You might be able to fool your friend. But be honest with God yourself. Ask yourself a simple question. If you died right now, where you sit right now, if the trumpet were to blow, where would you be? Do you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Rex, I know that without a shadow of a doubt. I can take you to a definite time, definite place, and give you a Bible reason why I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? I see hands all over the room. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Rex, I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. The wonderful thing about it is you don't have to wonder that anymore. We can take a Bible and we can show you how you can 100% know for sure you'd go to heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Brother Rex, I'm not 100% sure that if I die, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know that. Is there anybody like that this morning? And you just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. I'm going to pray for the invitation in just a moment. Just slip your hand up and say, Brother Rex, I'm not sure that heaven is my home, but I'd like to know that. Is there anybody like that this morning? You'd raise your hand. Just be honest with God. All right. I see that hand right there. I see that hand. Anybody else this morning? You'd say, I didn't raise my hand a second ago, but Brother Rex, I'm not 100% sure that heaven is my home. Is there anybody else that would say, would you pray for me, Brother Rex? I'm not sure of that. Would you just flip your hand up quickly? I want to recognize you and I'll pray for you. All right. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Rex, you know what? God gives us all these promises. And I'm not doing my best job
to claim his promises. They're ours to claim, folks. They're ours to claim. Maybe God spoke to your heart about something in the service this morning. If that's you, God spoke to your heart, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. I see those hands. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. All right, just a moment. The invitation's going to begin. The music will begin to play. And if God spoke to your heart, I want you to get up from your seat and move down to the good old-fashioned altar. Come on down here. If you raised your hand about salvation, would you just come from your seat and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for the ones that were here this morning. God, I pray that as you spoke to their heart, God, I pray that you would deal with that situation. I pray, God, they would deal with that situation. God, maybe it's just people just need some comfort, some reminders of things in your word. And God, I pray that you would just bless there and meet those needs in that situation. God, I pray for the one that raised her hand about salvation. And God, I pray, Lord, that today would be that day of salvation. God, I pray that you would just help her with that situation. God, I pray that you give her the boldness to do what she has to do. And God, I thank you, praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Let's